Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKadosh, is daf Mem, and we're continuing on from the last Mishnah where we spoke about how we first bring in the Edim into a room and we talk to them about how serious this is and about how important they are and how they cannot destroy their lives by saying anything that isn't a 100% clear-cut acceptable Edus. We then go through the Bedikot and the Chakirot, and we're going to start, of course, with the things that are Ma'akev, which are the Chakirot, the Bedikot, you'll recall, are the overall questions about the case, which are not really relevant, but which are just there in order to trip up the Edim. But the Chakirot are the questions that enable us to be Mazimam. So in order for other Edim to come along and to say, how can you be made in this way if you were with us in that same place at such and such a time? Obviously, we're going to need to know what that same place is, and we're going to need to know what that time is. So the question is, how much do we need to zero in on that time and place? Because, I mean, you know, they could say, how could you have said this during the month of Tevet if during the month of Tevet you were with us in a different city? But, I mean, they might also say, well, that was maybe only in the first part of the month of Tevet, but this took place in the second part of the month of Tevet. So the question is, does it have to be a particular moment, a particular day, a particular hour? Is it the difference between day and night? So this, we're medayik in the psukim in order to be able to establish the precision that we need to zero in. So there were Sheva Chakirot. The Chakirot are those which is Ma'akev, and it's absolutely necessary for them to answer. And obviously, they need to be, how many Edim there are, need to be consistent all with the other. So you put Kinotam b'Sheva Chakirot, b'Eze Shavua. So here's how we zero in. What Shavua, what does it mean, what week in terms of the 7 days? It means what week of years, that is to say, which Shemitah it is of the Yovah. So, be'ezer shavua, be'ezer shana of that shavua, be'ezer chodesh, be'kama b'chodesh, be'ezer yom, be'ezer sha'a, and be'ezer makom. So, basically, we're brought down to, all the way to the particular hour of the day. Rabbi Yossi says, no, all we need to ask them is be'ezer yom, be'ezer sha'a, be'ezer makom. We don't need to zero in by asking them things that we have a right to assume on our own. So if they say this took place at such and such a time, we don't have to ask and what Shavua was it. We take for granted that it's the Shavua. If they then claim that it's a different Shavua, so then we just ignore them because we understand that unless defined otherwise, people are talking about recent events. And then we also add questions such as, Makirinatem oto, hitratem bo. Let's say we're talking about a murder. So in the case of a murder, we ask, this is how Rashi understands it, that we ask them whether they know the victim. Are they aware of the fact that that victim was definitely a Jewish victim? Did you give him hatra'ah? How veda vadazara? Let's say it in a different case, where someone was testifying about a person that was Oved Avodah Zarah. Can you tell us what exactly was the name of the Avodah Zarah at Miavat? Can you tell us what he did? What did the Avodah consist of? And kol hamarbeh bibdikot hareze mishubach. So now, there's a machlokus over here in what we call these issues. The Rambam considers all of these questions that are germane to the actual event as all part of Chakirot, so that all Chakirot are Ma'akev. The Sheva Chakirot that we spoke about were specifically those issues that had to do with triangulation, so to speak, in time and space to be able to be mazim them. But anything that's germane to the case is also called a Chakira. Certainly not a Bedika, where a Bedika, as we'll see, if a witness says, I don't know, that's not a problem. You just cannot be makrish the other witness. The Rambam says anything that's germane, he cannot say, I don't know, no matter how many witnesses there are. Now, you understand that that is a bit of a question because it's true that if you have 100 witnesses Every one of those witnesses has to be triangulated, because in order to be mazim anyone, you need to be mazim everyone. And therefore, the hazama actually is indeed dependent on each one of the edim's response to the chakira. But the question would be, why would they need to have a response necessarily to the other types of chakiras that the Rambam is calling a chakira, and to be able to say, I can tell you precisely what Avodah Zarah it is? Maybe he'll say, well, I don't really know much about Avodah Zarah, so I have no idea what the heck he was bowing down to, but it was some stupid icon or another. So why would that be ma'akev if we have two witnesses out of the 100 that can identify it? The Rambam says that the Edom have to be consistent and be able to answer all of the chakiras. He calls this also chakiras. Now, the other Rishonim make a distinction between them. Say, according to the Meiri, he calls it a drisha instead of a chakira. Rashi calls it part of the bedikas, which may mean that he holds that a particular witness indeed doesn't have to answer. So for as long as we have our two witnesses, again, all these questions are things that we'll need to pursue further in the Gemara. Kol amar bebe bedikot. Now remember that bedikot are actually not germane to the case, as opposed to the chakirot, or what the Miri calls the drishot. And because of that, they're only there in order to trip up the witnesses and see whether they contradict each other. So those type of questions are important. And if the witnesses do get tripped up, we just save the guy's life. And therefore, if a dayan can come up with more of those kind of questions, well, that shows more concern and more awareness of what we need to look into. There was once actually a ma'aseh, ubadak ben zakai buk seita'inim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai once was bodek an aid to see whether they would actually be consistent, where they wanted to ask them, how thick were the stems of the figs that were on the tree under which this guy supposedly pulled the trigger? So, all right, so if the one witness says, oh, very thick stems, and the other guy says, no, they were thin stems, so then he canceled the whole thing, and that way he saved a guy's life. Amazing. Speaking about Drisha v'Chakira, this was in your hands just the other day. Got it from your kids. How do you like that? So, it's a small world. How do you do Hazama when the world is that small? Very good. So, he actually asked questions that are obviously totally not germane. So this is the difference between the Chakirot and the Bedikot. When it comes to the Chakirot, if one of the witnesses says, I don't remember anything about how thick the stems of the figs were, for heaven's sakes, I was only looking at the murder. So then there would be no difference to us at all. But if one of the witnesses says, I cannot identify the exact day of the week or the exact day of the month or the exact hour of the day, but I just know it happened, you know, on that day or whatever, then the aid is his bottle. Whereas when it comes to bidikot, if one of them says, look, I didn't pay attention to that in Yodea, for that matter, even if both of them say, I don't know, I didn't bother looking at the ukseita inim, edutan kayemet. Now, echot chakirot, echot bidikot, but one thing is for sure, if they contradict each other, then even if it's something that is completely irrelevant, it doesn't matter. If they're makrishim zedze, edutan bitela. Now, what do we consider a contradiction to be? I mean, let's say one of them says, look, this took place on the second of the month. And another guy says, no, actually, it wasn't the second of the month. It was the third of the month. Well, that's not considered to be a contradiction because, I mean, it's very clear that people are not necessarily aware of what day Rosh Chodesh was. So, echad yodea ze yodea bibu Rosh Chodesh veze in yodea bibu Rosh Chodesh. Which we're going to see in the Gemara, obviously, is only the early part of the month where people haven't yet heard anybody mention what date it is. So they assumed, one of them assumed that the last month was a 29-day month. He started counting the month a day earlier. So for him, it was the third of the month. The other one knew that the Besdin had actually added a date to the previous month. Okay, so that's not considered to be a contradiction. But if one of them says the third of the month and the other one says the fifth of the month, that is considered to be a contradiction, and the Eidut is Betela. Let's say one of them says it was 2 hours in the day, and one of them says 3 hours. Remember, the way that we count in those days, today obviously would be different, but it used to be that the hours were counted from the beginning of the day and from the beginning of the night. What is the beginning? That's already the two shitas that we have with the Mokan Avram and the Gro, you know, the Mishnah could have said, Zeh lech lefi Agro, Zeh lech lefi Mokan Avram, or Zeh lech lefi Arapi Natan, that could be. But they didn't have watches. And so basically you started counting, remember, not hours that were defined by 60 minutes that were given a specific definition in terms of, you know, early on, in terms of Paris, and later in terms of atomic measurements. But okay, in those days, it was sort of a gross estimation of what percentage of the day. So it would have to be 1/12 of the day. So okay, so how really accurate can you be? Actually, the Mefarshim say nowadays people use watches, so we expect greater accuracy. But in those days, so if one of them says it was in the second hour, one of them says it was the third hour, I mean, that's not a contradiction. But if one of them says the third hour, one of them says the fifth hour, well, people should be able to know the difference even in something that doesn't have precise measurement, but that's too gross of a mistake. And therefore, Edutan Bitela, was Rabbi Yehuda says, no, well, why would people necessarily be that aware of what percentage of the day has passed? And even that is Kayemet. On the other hand, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if Echad Omer B'chamesh, Echad Omer B'sheva, let's say one of them says it was in the morning, and one of them says it was in the afternoon, because that's the difference between Chamesh and Sheva. So then, yes, I agree that then Edutan Bitela, because that is definitely a mistake that people should not make. Shebe Chamesh Chama B'Mizrach, U'B'Sheva Chama B'Ma'arav. So in the morning, the sun is in the east, obviously. In the afternoon, where it's Sheva, the sun is in the west. So how did he make a mistake like that? Of course, nowadays, when people don't have the slightest idea where is east, where is west, where is right, where is left, you know, who knows? If we were on a tour with Barnea, would it matter, Barnea, whether the eight said it was to the right or the eight said it was to the left? Barnea is not committing himself. Anyway, continuing on. So we finished now the drishot, chakirot, bidikot. So what do we do then? Well, remember, we said in the previous perek, and this was a continuation of that, that we had split the Edom up, because we brought in the Godol Shebe Edom, scared him, questioned him. Okay, now we're going to bring in the other Edom, and we're going to do the same thing to him. And ask him the same questions. Im nimtzu divrehem mechuvanim, if there were no contradictions, then we open the Masa Umatan. And as we said before, the first thing we do is we are potrin bischut. So we make it very clear. The way the Gemara came up before is that we say to the guy, don't worry about it. The fact that these Edom are here should not frighten you. We're interested in hearing your version of the facts. And if you didn't do anything wrong, nothing's going to happen to you. That was, remember, in the end, how we learned it out of the pasuk that had to do with this sota, that the Kohen specifically says that im lo satiti naki. And that's how we understood the nature of potrim b'schut in all cases of dinei nefashos. Now, suppose one of the Edim during the Masa U'Matan offers an argument for a zechut. Remember that we learned before when we asked in the Gemara, afilu echad min ha'edim, and we said no. One of the Edim cannot say anything, even if it was b'schut. And we said that's because it's near that he's no'gim be'iduto. And we actually were dorish the pasuk of Eid Echad versus Echad. So the question was, how are we going to read that pasuk? So we said, the Eid Echad is not able to say anything, the Chova. And a Talmid, Echad, should not be Meid, meaning should not say anything in the courtroom, the Chova. So we ended up saying a witness actually can't say anything. But that's because he is always possibly going back on his testimonies. Even if he wants to say the opposite we said before, this may be the only way he has to pull back when he's getting frightened of being caught. And of course, an aid, so therefore we don't accept anything that he has to say. But if one of the Talmidim that is there in front of the Beis Din says, Yesh li lelamed alav chova, also remember, mishat kimoto, we shut him up because of the fact that the Torah says, will not be accepted, lamut. And there were medayek, echad lo yaneh benefesh lamut. So lamut, we don't accept his argument, but to acquit him, we do accept his argument. So that was the difference we were medayek before. Okay, if a Talmud has something to say that is in favor of this guy, ma'alinoto u'meshivinoto benihem, so we actually bring him up, we put him down as part of the Beis Din, and he is given that covet because he tried to be motzi zechut v'lo ayu yored misham kol hayom kulo. Even if what he said didn't make much sense, we don't embarrass him and throw him off of the court. He sits there the entire day. Im yesh mamash bidvarav shomim lo. And if, in fact, he has what to say, so there are those who hold that shomim lo means he's even given a vote. Va'afilu hu omer, even if the defendant says, yesh li lelamed al atzmi zechut, I want to explain why I should be found innocent. We listen to him. Ubevach yesh mamash bidvarav, and we don't allow these long speeches of these terrorists, you know, he's got to have what to say. All right, so if after all of this, we find a basis to be pottering him, pitaruhu, so he was acquitted on the spot. But if we were not able to acquit him, then we cannot actually, today, we cannot say that he's chayev. Remember that we have to do lina, as we said before. You're not allowed to complete a din and a nefashis on the same day. So im lav, we couldn't find any way to throw out the case, so then ma'avirino to lamachar. We have to wait till the next day before we paskin. And from that point on, mizdavgin zugot zugot, we have the different dayanim take a chavrusa to sit and to discuss it with the whole day and the whole night. And hayim ma'atin mima'achal, they would take this very seriously, and they would not eat, and for sure they wouldn't drink kol hayom wine, they wouldn't drink kol hayom, and they continue discussing it, thinking about it, sleeping over it, nosim v'notim kol halayla. The next morning they come early in the morning to the Beis Din, and remember that at the time that they come back, we learned before in the Gemara, they don't immediately take a vote. They reopen the discussion. There's a massive amatan in the morning. And in that massive amatan in the morning, they have to continue arguing for acquittal if that's what they had argued yesterday, because it's the same thing as a continuation of yesterday. And therefore, what they do is they have to say, I was a mezaka yesterday, and I'm arguing today also for acquittal. But that doesn't mean at the time of the psak din that just because they said it yesterday, they have to say it today. That we said before, that lebacher ein masa v'matan. This is what we're referring to here. The masa v'matan that we understand begins the discussion on the next day. So if somebody was mechayev, he can say, ani mechayev, and I continue to argue in favor of convicting this guy. Of course, as we made very clear before, this is only up till the moment that we have to take a vote. So if somebody was trying to convince the other dayanim of a chiyuv, he could continue to do that, but he cannot change his mind and now try to get the people that yesterday he tried to convince to acquit. He can't change his mind and try to convince them for chiyuv. Now, suppose they actually say something which the secretaries of the court, the Shnei Sofrei HaDayanim, or the Shlosha Libra Rabbi Yehuda, they see that there's a contradiction between what they argued the day before and what they're saying this morning. So then, Ta'u B'davar, Shnei Sofrei HaDayanim, Maskirin Oto. And remember, if they're arguing even in the same direction, but now they have a new reason why it is that they want to be b'chayev of the guy, we're going to have to put it off for another day again. Because a new reason requires reopening the diyunim and giving it lina once again. And that's how we explained earlier why we would need to have the Shnei Sofrei HaDayanim, both l'chova and l'zechut. Imbatulaschut. So now, if at this last moment, they're able to figure out why they should acquit him, so then they send him out on the spot. If not, it's time to take the vote. Omdim leminyan. Now, we have a court of 23, remember? So suppose we have 12 that are mizakim, and we have 11 that are mechayvim, so then that's it. He just walks out of the court free. So then he's zakai. But what if we have 12 that are saying he's chayiv, and 11 that is saying that he's zakai? Or what about if we have 11 that are mizakim and 11 that are mechayvim, and one of the judges says, I can't make up my mind, I'm not sure, ini yodea. So in such a case, we are basically stymied because we're not allowed to paskin a din of chiyav misa on the basis of one vote, and over here we only have one vote, and maybe we don't even have a useful judge. So whether the court is actually blocked because of the lack of enough people to convict, or whether a particular judge is not able to give an opinion, in either event, Yosifu Hatayanim, we're going to need to add judges. So basically, if there's one judge who can't make up his mind, we no longer have a Besdin of Esrim V'Shalosh. And it doesn't matter, by the way, whether that judge doesn't have an opinion where we would have 100% had a massive majority in one direction or another, because we need to have a Besdin of Esrim V'Shalosh. So even if it's very clear that it was, you know, almost everyone was in favor of one way or the other, we don't have a court, and therefore we cannot paskin. So what we do is we add Dayanim, and adding Dayanim, suppose you're still stuck, and this keeps going on. You can only add Dayanim up to the point where you reach 71. That's the maximum size of a Sanhedrin Gedolah. So now what happens when we have 71? So let's imagine we have the same situation over there. We have 36 that are Mizaka, and we have 35 that are Mechayev. So there, obviously, we have no problem. He walks out free and clear. But how about the other way around? How about if we have 36 out of the 71 that are saying he's Chayev, and we only have 35 that are saying that he's Zakai? Now we can't do anything because we do not have a majority of two. We can't say, well, he's Potter on the spot, can we? So we have to be Danim Elu Kineged Elu. They continue the Masav Matan Ach Yireh Echad Min HaChayvim Divrei HaMizakim until we finally get one of the people that was in favor of being Mechayev him to join the Mizakim. And that way, we end up not embarrassing a Besdin, which we're not able, obviously, if we cannot come to a decision, we're going to have to let the guy out. And so, as the Gemara said before, this is the only reason we say that one of the Mechayvim should see the Divrei Mizakim. It doesn't mean that it can't be the other way around, because always when it comes to a vote, you can always change your mind. Of course, you have to say what the din is. It's only during the arguments. You can't change your arguments to persuade others. So therefore, the reason that the Tana said it in this direction, Echad ben Achmechayvim Divrei Mizakim, which just as well could have been the other direction. But we always like to focus on pattering the person, not being Mechayev the person. So the question is, where does this come from? I mean, how do we know? Obviously, we need to be able, there's a number of levels to this question. The truth is, it's Machlokas. We've shown him how far to take this. And I'll explain to you where the Machlokas would be. But our first question would be, how do we know how much we need to zero in order for these Edim to be considered Edim Sha'ata Yochol La'azimam? Gavi, just in case you don't have that, I'm pretty sure we've spoken about it so many times, but just make sure that it's listed in your list. So we need always to have Edim Sha'ata Yochol La'azimam. If it's Edim She'enata Yochol La'azimam, it's useless testimony. But the question is, what does that mean? I mean, even if it's a very broad time and space, we're not able to triangulate all that precisely, we could still be mizing them. Let's say, as we said before, somebody says, well, it was sometime during the month of Shvat. So, is that a problem? there's always the possibility of witnesses, other witnesses saying, hey, you guys were with us on a vacation in Majorca during the entire Shvat. How could you have been able to be made? Well, that would be okay. That would certainly be Azamas. It's not Edut Shi'iyah Toyochola Hazimah, correct? So if that's the case, how do we know how precisely we need to be able to be mazimah, that we would be asking all of these questions that you say we have to actually ask, not only the date of the day and the, it has to be the hour of the day. That has to come from the Yukim and the Psukim to tell us that. Now, there's also another issue over here, which is the subject of a lot of debate. And that's the question is, if the Edim had said a particular time, we're going to see how this is Nogea the Gemara later on. The Edim walk in and they say, yesterday, so-and-so, we saw so-and-so killed so-and-so. Do we still ask him the questions? He said yesterday. Well, we all know when yesterday was. So, yesterday. Do we have to actually ask them? Like, what's the date of yesterday? I mean, it seems a little silly. Well, what day of the week was yesterday? I mean, come on, guys. So that the question over here is whether this is a, so to speak, gzirata katuv, that the witnesses need to speak out their triangulation in order to be ma'orer others that would be able to come and to be mazim them, who maybe didn't think about things, and then suddenly they hear, what did they say? It was on the third. Hold on a second. On the third, we were on the meeting over there at the lawyers at that time. So, you know, whatever the basis would be, it's a din in the nature of testimony that the Aiden have to actually triangulate themselves, which is what gives the Aedis its hashivas. Now, this is Machlokas Rishonim, about whether we even ask these questions in cases where we know perfectly well what they're saying, because they said yesterday. We're going to see the Gemara actually brings this up, but there's different ways of understanding that Gemara. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. And first, let's take a look at the Psukim, where we derive this level of triangulation. Omer Rav Yehuda, the Omer Kro v'Dorashta v'Chakarta v'Sha'alta Heitev. So here we're talking about the din of an Ir HaNidachat, and the Torah makes it very clear that we need to zero in with Drisha, Chakira, and Hatavat She'ela. So that's three different levels of questioning. To be Doresh is itself investigative questioning, so it obviously means putting them through something. Chakira has that same sense of taking things apart and looking into it. Sha'alta doesn't have that sense, but when it's coupled with the word heitev, it does. So we end up with three clear-cut determinations that's telling us that we've got to think about three questions. And when it comes to a yochid who was Oved Avodah Zarah, so there it says, Hugad lecha v'shamata v'darashta heitev. Now, since the word drisha itself means looking into this in great detail, the heitev adds an additional level. It's not just an adjective of the word darashta. So, okay, if that's the case, it gives us another two. And then, in the sugya of Edim Zomimim, it says, V'dorshu ha-shoftim heitev. So now these Edim are put up against the wall by other Edim who claim that they were elsewhere. So now they are, this is like a self-referential story here, in which the Edim Zomimim themselves are the ones that these people that are coming to be mazim them are subject to Drisha v'chakira. And it says about that, V'dorshu ha-shoftim heitev. So Drisha and Hatava are considered to be levels of inquiry. So that gives us initially three in the sugya of Ir HaNidachat, two in the sugya of Yochid Sh'avid Avedis Kechavim, and an additional two in the sugya of Edim Zomimim. Oh, wait a minute. Why are we adding these up? Says the Gemara. Who says to add them up? Maybe each case has a different level of what you're expected to look into. So when you're dealing with an Irani Dachat of an entire city, so over there we've got three questions. V'tarashta, v'chakarta, v'sha'alta itev. Fine. And when it comes to a Yochid, that is Eved Avedah Zarah, so over there We have two questions. I don't understand why we put it all together. And I mean, does that make sense? Because, I mean, if the Torah really meant seven questions, so let the Torah write those seven remazim in one place to indicate clearly that it's meant to be a questioning in cases of Chiyav Misa, and then we'll learn all those cases from there. Says, well, that's not a problem. Because, I mean, it's clear, one thing is clear. They're all in the same direction of stating things, right? So, given the kulabane adarik siva, they're all said in the same way, v'torashta, v'chakarta, and there's a hetev, and so on, so, we're going to learn one from the other. Once we learn them from the other, because they're all talking about the same thing, so then it's as if it's all written in one. Because, I mean, why would there be a difference between one and the other? They're all chiyuvei misa, and therefore it should be the same, right? Says the Gemara, no, wrong. Because they're not the same. If we would know one of these cases, it doesn't mean we could learn the other ones from it. Each one of them has a particular element, which might be the reason that the Torah gave only in this case, the din of Chakiras. Let's say, an Irani Dachat. So an Irani Dachat is unique. It's not similar to the other two cases of a Yochid that was Eved Avedis Kachavim or of Eidim Zoymanim. Because after all, when it comes to an Irani Dachat, I mean, it's not similar to them because in the other two cases, Mamonom Palat, there's much bigger Chumrah when it comes to Irani Dachat. And the Chumrah is that the whole city, all of the things, all of the property in the city is burned, Mashenkein. In the other cases of a Yochid or of Eidim Zoymanim, there's certainly no such halacha. So it may very well be that when it comes to the question of Irani Dachat, so then maybe the Torah is giving a different level of questioning, you know? Or Avodah Zarah is also unique because Avodah Zarah is not similar to the other two because, after all, Shekein B'Sayif. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, you're going to have a kula in the sense that you only have a chiyav of misa, not beskila, but a chiyav of misa with a sayif, which is a lower level for sure. Everybody's made of that sayif, even though we had machlokas of exactly the order, but nobody holds that sayif is as chomer as skila is. So maybe that idea is that we're going to be more machmer. A yochid is more chomer because maybe he's got this chiyav of skila, and the others that aren't chiyav of skila are sayif. So maybe we should actually not include the questions that we're talking about by Eidim Zoymimi, because, or by Avodah Zarah. So we should look at them as being necessary to teach me that no matter what the chiyav is, we're still going to be giving these number. And when it's a different chiyav, maybe we'll give these numbers. So maybe it's unique to Irani Dachas that we have three. But Eidim Zoymimim also. I mean, I need to know by Eidim Zoymimim exactly what to do because Eidim Zoymimim have a particular chumrah. And that is the other two all require hatra'ah. They need to be warned before they do it. And otherwise, they're not chayef. Mashenkin Eidim Zoymimim. It's the very fact of their edus. They were going to kill a guy without warning, so to speak. And the mida keneged mida in terms of kasit asitim lo kasher zaman is the same thing. They don't need to get a hatra'ah. We cannot actually give them a hatra'ah because we have no idea that they're about to do an avera. We don't know that it's false testimony. So this is not a good argument because if they were exactly the same, I understand that they're all telling me the same halacha. But it's very possible that they're unique and we need to know what the dinim are in unique, three unique cases. Answers the Gemara, you know what? You're right. We're not just putting them together because they use the same kind of language. We're putting them together because we have Gzeres Shava, that we were Mekabel. Each one of these cases uses that word heitev. V'dorashta heitev, v'chakarta heitev, v'dorashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. They all talk about heitevs. And that Gzeres Shava means that even though we have ways of asking, well, maybe this is less chomer, And therefore, maybe we should be more makpid in seeing to it that the Edim are definitely telling us the truth, or vice versa, we talk about in the Rishonim. But behetev, hetev, once you've got Gzera Shava, and not only that, it's Gzera Shava Mufna. Remember, Gzera Shava Mufna means that the word was unnecessary, and that therefore it's not just a Gzera Shava, but it's a Gzera Shava that can stand up to any level of questioning. And that's a machlokas, whether we need Mufna on both sides, or whether if even one side is Mufna, it also enables us to stand the Gzera Shava against questions that would logically show that it's not necessarily that way. But it better be Mufna, says the Gemara, because Ilo Mufna, Ikala Mifrach, we just showed you that we could show that it's not logical to say that they're all the same, and therefore you wouldn't be able to use Gzera Shava. Is it Mufna? Oh, yes, of course. I absolutely have Afnuya Mufna. I mean, look, the Lashon of Heitev is weird. I mean, if you're trying to tell me the idea that you require additional questions, we've got words for that. Instead of saying the word Heitev, you can use the word Vidorashta. If you already said Dorashta, you can use the word Vachakarta. So you could say Vidorashta, Vachakarta. Why are we saying Heitev? Since Shani Krabi Dibure Behetev, but since the Torah changes it by using this word Heitev in both situations, Shmamina, the point is that the use of the word Heitev was specifically for this purpose, to create a Gzera Shava. Yes, but still, it's only Mufna on one end. Because I understand that the Zoymanim and the Yochid is Mufna, because it could have said another word, but instead of Heitev. But it could not have said another word instead of Heitev when it comes to the Irani Dachar, could it? So in those two cases, yes, you should have said both Chakira and Drisha. But Irani Dachar, it does say both Chakira. It says, V'chakarta, V'dorashta, V'shalta, Heitev. What do you want me to say? I don't have another term. So I had to use the word Heitev to make the V'shalta Heitev a meaningful additional case. So if you hold, like the Mandiyomar, that says that, and you need to have Mufna Mishneh study, you haven't actually answered the question. How do I know to learn them all out from the other? So Bishlam Anachtarti Mufna Mishum Davilele Michtav, both, the idea of Darashta V'chakarta. But here, by Irani Dachat, what do you expect it to write? Haktiva Kula, it already said V'darashta V'chakarta V'shalta, so what else can I say? No, I could have said something. Hotem Nami Afniya Mufne, it certainly is open for Gzera Shava, because it could have said Dorosh Dorashta, or the Chakor Tachkor, which we often find those types of languages, Ocheach Tochiach. Okay, so then it would have added an additional level. Since the Torah changed Shadikra B'dibure to use the word Heitev, Shmamina Lafnuye. Okay, so now we know that we've got these seven questions. Do we know that in all cases? I mean, none of these cases are a case where someone will be punished by Chanika, which, I mean, isn't mentioned. Now, the truth is, it's a little funny to say that, because Edim Zomimim includes all cases, right? So, I mean, if the Hazoma was on a case of Chanika, so then it would be Chanika, because it says, Vasitim lo kasher zaman. But the point is that maybe we should limit it to the given cases that we know. Or as Rashi says, the case that we have over there was but Pashtus was talking about a specific case in which we were referring over there to somebody that was Chayev Sayev. So how do we know somebody that is Chayev Chenek? So Chenek we could learn out from the Niskalim, and from the Sayef, from the Neharagim. So we could learn that one from the other, and we could even learn the Nisrofim from the Niskolim. And we would say that it's basically, it's a Kal V'chomer. So it's a benefit to you for these questions to be asked if you are a defendant. Because the more questions that we ask, the more likely it is that you're going to get out of the Chiyuv. because the Edom are more likely to be tripped up. The Edom are more likely to be opened to an attack on them by other Edom. So for sure, we're going to have to ask those questions if the misa that the individual would be chayav would be less chomer, and the Torah would be more makpid to see to it that that person should be able to get off. And we would for sure have to ask these same questions to the Edom. So we can learn one out from the other. No, wait a minute, says the Gemara. That is only true if you hold that skila is more chomer than the din of sreifa. Yes. And we would say, if for skila we're trying to get the guy off the hook, so certainly for sreifa we would try to get him off the hook. But how about according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon shita is that sreifa is more chamur. So maybe if the Torah was more machmer on this person, to give him even a misa of sreifa, it should be machmer on him that we don't ask all of these questions to let him off. So ma'ika l'meimer? So maybe people that are chayev in sreifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Edom against them are not asked these additional chakiras. Okay, fine. We can answer it even according to Rabbi Shimon. The truth is, there are additional psukim that you have not taken into consideration, because it also says, in the case of Avodah Zarah, both in the case of the Iranidachas, and in the case of Yochi, that Zevid Avid is Kechafin, it uses the Lashon Vihine Emet Nachon. In both of those cases. So it says twice, Vihine Emet Nachon, Vihine Emet Nachon. Emet and Nachon are obviously determined by asking questions to see if it's Emet V'Nachon. So if you're telling me, in addition to the language of a Darashta V'Chakarta, you're also telling me the language of Emet V'Nachon, that means we have four other indications that are necessary. So then that means add that to the seven. Okay? That gives us 11. So what now are the 11? I mean, there's only a limit to how much you can triangulate. So, I mean, we only have Sheva. So we have Sheva for the Sheva Chakirot. And then we need, of course, 3 out of the 11. They are Dal Tlat L'Gzera Shava, which is, of course, we needed to have that Gzera Shava from the Hetev, so then we needed that extra word. This gives us the extra word. You're left with one additional word that tells us is one additional application. So that, according to Rabbi Shimon, that extra word is coming to include even this Rafim in the Sheva Chakirot. And according to Rabbanan, it's not a question, because, look, we know the Sheva Chakirot would apply, according to them, to the Nisrafim, because it's a Kavachomer from the Niskalim. But remember, we have another Gavi term, which is Milta da'ate b'Kavachomer Torach v'katav lekra. And the Torah could have allowed you to learn something from a Kavachomer, and nonetheless, sometimes it spells it out for you. So over here, it spelled it out for you. Megadif bo Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo was all, God, the stupid, that Megadif means, he's really cursing it out. What an idiotic way to learn. Because, I mean, isn't it more reasonable? You had all the other psukim, they were there to add an additional hakira. Now, because of the fact that, after all, you know, you need the extra word for Rabbi Shimon, let's define that extra word. Instead of telling us an extra hakira, let's use it for Rabbi Shimon. Come off it, man. The meaning of each of these words was to add an extra hakira. What right do you have to know? That's the maximum. I'm only going to ask Sheva hakira, so now we've got this extra term. The extra term is coming to tell me what the din is for Rabbi Shimon. What happened to the eighth? What eight? There is no other eight. What's the matter with you? Shmona hakiros mi'ika? I mean, how more can we ask? We've asked everything there is to ask about triangulation. Well, why do you say that? Alam alo. You could talk about, tell me the exact hour. How many minutes into the hour? You just said the hour. You made it very broad. And in fact, we know there is a shita like that. V'tanya namayachi, hayubotkin oto, b'shmona chakirot. So what do you want? Rabbi Avu is absolutely right on target. Why does the Torah say the extra word, and we're going to use it to be adding the din of the Rabbi Shimon of the Nisrafim, use it to add an eighth chakira? So I understand that not everybody is going to be able to say we add a be'ezer sha'ah, because what Rabbi Abo is pointing out, that's fine according to Abaye, because Abaye says ein adam to'ev lo klo. We're going to see later on, we're discussing if a person does give an exact time. So then according to Abaye, Rabbi Meir Shita is that people will give an exact time. So then we could ask, give us the exact time. And that would be the additional Eif Chakira. And even according to the Shita that we'll see later on, that an Adam can be Toya Mashu, and Rabbi Meir said you can make a bit of a mistake, we can still say an eighth question. You know, was it in the first part of the hour, the second part of the hour? That's perfectly good. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Baya understood Rabbi Yehuda that an Adam is Toya Chatzi Sha'ah, or according to Rava, for sure, who says people are told even more than that. So then what point would there be in asking the question? Even if he gave an answer, that answer would not actually bind him to that particular time. And if we came to attack him, we would say, well, you know, he thought that was the time, and that's perfectly logical because people make a mistake of whatever, the mashu, the half an hour, whatever it would be that we would need to say. So what would be the point of asking an eighth chakira? So Rabbi Abba's question breaks down, except according to that one approach, that it is possible to ask a person for the exact time. Okay, so there's another eighth question. You could say, in what yovel? Well, ha'ibezi shavua, what is that supposed to mean? If you're saying bekama be'yovel, then what you're saying is, what year in the yovel? Isn't that bezi shavua? No. I mean, what yovel? I mean, after all, yeah, I did say it was in the 24, but I meant 1824. This is when I saw it the last time, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe the guy's talking about 50 years ago. And he says, yes, I remember. I mean, that was the last time we weren't Sanhedrin. You know? So, we were talking about it back then. So, Mamela, you have to ask him, is he yovel also? So, again, do we seriously mean, I mean, we're getting to this question later on, do we seriously mean that the guy could claim that that's what he was talking about and get out of a chiyuv of Hazama because he really meant 50 years before? Or isn't that included in an umdan of what the person is talking about? So we're getting closer to the Gemara's examination of that question. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, he uses it to tell me that it's to include the Nisrafim, he would say, if a person says in what part of the Yovel it occurred, he doesn't have to define the Yovel in which it occurred. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, well, you only have to ask him three questions. You have to ask him the Shavua, and you have to ask him Yom B'Shavua, and which Sha'a B'Yom, and which Mokum. So Tanya, Rabbi Yossi said to the Chachomi, this doesn't make any sense what you're saying. I mean, a guy walks into court, let's say, and the guy says, I saw so-and-so kill someone yesterday. You're going to say to him, okay, what day of the week was yesterday? What year was yesterday? And in what Yovel, what Shavuot of the Yovel was yesterday? Isn't that a little ridiculous? So if he said what day it happened on, why would we be asking him the question? So they said to him, and according to you, it does make sense. Let's see, somebody runs into Besdin right now and says, I just witnessed a murder across the street. So we're going to sit and we're going to say to him, well, what day was it? I mean, what day was it? I told you, I just saw the guy. So you can ask yourself the same question. Says the Chacham to Rabbi Yossi. So the Devarecha Mishabav Amar Achshav Arago. So we're going to now ask him, Beze Yom, Beze Shah, Beze Makom. So the point over here is that the Torah has given us a chiv on the witnesses to put themselves clearly into a specific time and place, even though we know, but it has to be part of what they're saying, right? So then we're saying the same thing. if you're agreeing to this, even though we understand when that time was, you agree that nonetheless we ask them to tell us. Now, so here's the question of how to learn this Gemara. Because, remember, I mentioned to you this about Machlokas Rishonim, specifically the Balamor, who says that, in fact, if the witness had identified by definition and saying yesterday or something like that, so then these Chakiras would not be Ma'ak. And yet the Gemara over here says, Havagav delot tzarech raminan aleh. Now the Gemara explains why raminan aleh. Raminan aleh kid Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So what does that mean, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? So remember, we said before, the din is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mesiinota mi makom lamakom, which the Rambam explains as being intellectually, meaning we'll interrupt in the middle by asking a question that had something to do with it. We keep moving them back and forth to different issues to try to confuse them. Or maybe we actually physically take them from one room to the other. But the point is we are attempting to confuse the witnesses as much as possible. So maybe that's the point. It has to do with harassing the Edom. But who's to say that it has to do with the actual questioning them? So this is the idea. So according to Balamor, this is not going to be Ma'akev, because certainly the sheet of Reb Shimon ben Elazar that we hassled the Aden is not Ma'akev. If you didn't hassle the Aden and you still got the testimony is kosher testimony. And so that's, the Ron argues with that very strongly. The Ron says, no, that the Mishnah is saying that there needs to be a statement on the part of the Aden, which is the nature of testimony, that it be focused, according to the Chumash, in the way that they are identifying themselves, not that we happen to understand what the day yesterday means. It needs to stand up in all times. So what are we going to have? A record now, 300 years from now, so-and-so said yesterday, what is yesterday? Well, they knew what yesterday. Do you know what yesterday is? So therefore, according to the Ron, the point of the Torah is telling us that what we're doing is we're placing things into an objective time which can be spoken about to people that are not standing here today. That's an amazing insight. It's a beautiful way to understand the sugya. But according to the Ron, it's absolutely would be ma'akev all of the chakirot. It has nothing to do with hassling. We're comparing it to the din of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. We will do other. Does it have to make sense? Does it have to make sense? So, Ochanami, afagav delot tzarech raminan aleh. The Torah says, do it, get Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So, yeah, I mean, what's Rabbi Yossi saying? It is pretty strange to be telling the Chachamim, well, and what if they said yesterday when we can ask him the same question? And what if they said just now and they run in? I mean, what kind of weird argument is that? How does Rabbi Yossi respond to that? Rabbi Yossi says, look, for people to come in and to say that yesterday we witnessed a murder, that is something that is very, very common. People come in very quickly to court to report on what they saw. For someone to run into a courtroom instead of into the police station, to run into a courtroom and to say, I just witnessed a murder outside. I mean, like, that's extremely rare. Akshav harago. Lo shkiach barov idiot. So the Torah was talking about a standard situation in which you would be expected to respond.